Well, good evening. I'm glad you guys are here tonight, and I'm thankful for the gift of God's Word, and I know He's going to be here tonight teaching us and enlightening the words on the page or on the screen, for that matter. So let me go to Him in prayer, and then we'll get started with our lesson. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to serve You once again. Lord, we thank You for allowing us to gather tonight in total freedom, Lord, to worship You and to encourage one another and to share burdens and uplift one another. And now, Lord, we just pray that You will just prepare our hearts to receive Your message. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So each week when I have the privilege to preach, or actually before I get started, let me go ahead and say something that I was going to say before when I came up to kind of welcome you all. We have a new addition to our Crosswind family. As some of you probably know, maybe all of you know, Bobby was expecting another grandchild. His daughter, Julie, has been pregnant, and she just had a baby. Yesterday, they had another daughter, so three girls in the Moore family, and so they welcomed little baby Bristol into the world yesterday. What a sweet name that is, and so we're just rejoicing with the Capps family and the Moore family, so So, Bobby, if you're listening tonight, we love you and we rejoice in baby Bristol. So tonight, each time I have the opportunity to preach, I try to, you know, I want to come to you and present sound theology, obviously, but I also want it to be practical. I want it to be practical theology, and I want to speak to things that, you know, I'm experiencing in my life and experiencing in my counseling practice here at Crosswind or in my family's life. And so how many of you have either are in the middle of or are coming out of or have recently come out of some hard times? Yeah? Okay. Siri responded to that as well. So evidently that was fairly profound. But yes, we as a people, we are subject to hard times. And, you know, whether it's something like the coronavirus that had us all uptight and worried, civil unrest and violence that we read about and unfortunately see on the news, looming national or personal debt. This is something that might cause us to be uncomfortable. Strained family relationships, corruption in politics. All of these things make us feel nervous from time to time and cause us to feel vulnerable and in the wrong or in the worst possible way. And so when we experience times like this, which we are bound to do, what are we to do as God's people? Well, God calls us, first of all, to trust Him, to trust in His will and His ways, His timing, and His word. Okay, and so you know, He is faithful. He is our Father. He is a perfect Father, and just like you know, any parent in this room, you know, we love our children, right? And there's nothing we wouldn't do for our children or to love our children well, but we fall short from time to time because we have faults and we have flaws and we have shortcomings and weaknesses, but our Heavenly Father doesn't have any of that. He has all the wisdom and He has all the power and all the love and all the resources. So in even in the most uncertain of times, we can be certain of God and His faithfulness. So God calls us to reflect at times like this, and He calls us to reflect not just on our lives or in the past where, you know, there have been times when he's been faithful, but he also calls us to reflect on his word. And he's given us entire chapters in his word to call us to reflection and repentance and dependence on him. And one such chapter, this is probably a chapter that you're that most of you are familiar with, and that is Isaiah chapter 55. So we're going to reflect on that just for a few moments tonight. And though the book of Isaiah was written to the nation of Israel, it has wonderful and powerful implications for believers today. Why? Well, because it reveals the very character of God. And not just his character, but his character in relationship to his disposition to his people. See, God is speaking in Isaiah 55. He's speaking to a discouraged people in captivity whose future was uncertain, much like what we're talking about tonight for maybe some of us in here. You feel like your future is uncertain. Well, that's the context of Isaiah 55. And these Israelites that he's speaking to through the prophet Isaiah, life was hard for these people. And so these verses that we're going to camp out on tonight unfold God's path for moving his people from their thirst and their longing to fulfillment, peace, and joy. Now, I don't know each one of you's or each one of your specific thing going on with your life right now. I don't know what your disposition is like or what's going on in your life, but I know for certain that if you could have fulfillment, peace, and joy, things would be okay, right? So that's what we're going to reflect on tonight. So let's go to Scripture, and we're going to skip down to verse 8, and first of all, we're going to read through, we'll read verses 8 through 11 at first. So God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Now, let me stop right there. How many of you know, so we just experienced something right here in this moment. God's word just went out. God's word that is available to us, freely available to us, was spoken, and it just went out, and you heard it, and you received it, okay? And God tells us here through the prophet Isaiah that his word goes out, and it's not arbitrary. It doesn't just go out with no purpose. There is a purpose. He has a will and a plan for what his word is to accomplish when it goes out. And that will be accomplished, so we can take comfort in that. See, this is where, in this particular passage, I believe this is God saying that we have some work to do, perhaps. See, he says, "My thoughts aren't anything like your thoughts." He's basically saying, "I think differently about everything that happens in your life. My way out of troubles is different than you would expect. It's different. Because my ways are perfect. And because I love you, I have given you all the words you need about my ways and my thoughts." So it's okay that we don't understand everything. It's okay that we don't know everything about this God that we serve and we trust and we love because he first loved us. Because he's given us everything that we need. See, my word will do exactly what I intend it to do. If you will make my thoughts your thoughts and will choose the paths that are my paths, I will do my part. I will use my word to deliver you. I want you to think this through carefully and honestly, brothers and sisters here tonight. And this is not in any way to challenge you or to make you feel uncomfortable or anything like that, okay? There is never any judgment coming from this ministry, okay? So just know that. But let's all think about this carefully and honestly, okay? Based on what the Lord is telling us about His ways and our understanding of His ways. Do you have a regular daily time with the Lord where you're seeking Him and His ways through His Word and interacting with Him in prayer about what He has for you, what He wants to teach you, or what He has given us through His Word? And if so, if the answer to that question is yes, is that time that you're spending with God in His Word, is it making a difference in how that you live? Are you changing? Do you feel yourself changing? And when I say changing, I'm not talking about specific behavior so much. I'm talking about in the way that you think, in the way that you feel, in the way that you respond to certain things, in how you process anger or being triggered to anger, all those things. Are you changing? Do you have more peace? Do you have more confidence? Are you worrying less? Are you less stressed? And if we are not spending quality time learning about God's ways and His thoughts, are there lifestyle choices and schedule changes, perhaps, that we need to make to increase our personal pursuit of God through His Word? Folks, this is a non-negotiable for fulfillment, peace, and joy. Remember a couple of moments ago, that's where we're headed. That's what God promises for His people. Verse 12. For you shall go out in joy. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. God bless the reading and the hearing of His Word. Here's what God is saying. Here's what I have planned for you, people. People that know me, who know me because you believed in Jesus Christ, just like our video said earlier. That whole video, it was beautiful, but all I could just see that kept jumping out at me every couple of frames or so was believe, 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 believe. And for all of you in here tonight that believe, here is what I have planned for you, not me, but my Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. It's joy and peace. When you have both, you will have satisfaction in your soul instead of thirst, and fulfillment and contentment instead of emptiness. You will interpret everything differently when you know my thoughts and walk in my ways. That's what God is saying to us. Instead of the scrubby desert plants in the parched soul of your heart, you will be like stable and useful trees. Now, I don't know if you caught that in at the tail end of the passage that we just read, but when he talks about instead of a thorn, you have a cypress, and instead of a briar, you have a myrtle. That's interesting Because when you water a thorn, what typically do you get over time when you water a thorn and subject it to sunlight? More thorns, or bigger thorns, right? What about when you water a briar and subject it to sunlight? Typically, you get more briars, right? A bigger bush. Not in God's ways and in His will. See, His thorns become cypress and His briar becomes myrtle. We're talking about transformation, and we're talking about transformation from being exposed to His Word. And what are we doing in here tonight? We're being exposed. We're being watered, if you will, by His Word. So that's something to be excited about. If you came in tonight feeling like a scrubby little plant, take heart. There's a crepe myrtle in your future. Amen? Amen. This is the essence of divine transformation. Amen? Your changed life will be a testimony to my name, to His name, because only I can do these things for you. You can't do that. You can't will your way from a briar to a myrtle. You can't will your way from a thorn to a cypress. Only God can do that. Listen, if you're not living in contentment currently, let me ask you, was there a time in your walk with God when you were filled with joy and peace? Have you ever experienced that? If so, what was going on at that time in your walk with God that brought about that contentment, joy, and peace? If you're not experiencing that right now, what needs to happen for that to be true for you? Think about this honestly and deeply. How often do we meditate? Do we meditate? Do we study? Do we reflect on the many blessings of our lives? How often do we do that? Well, I can go ahead and speak for myself, and pretty sure I can speak for the rest of us. Not nearly enough, right? We don't do it enough. Because if we did, we would be content. Amen? So, listen, folks. Godliness, holy living, the purpose or the mission, if you will, of sanctification or the Christian walk or spiritual maturation, whatever you want to call it, the goal is godliness, and it's not accidental. It's intentional. In order to have a fulfilling walk with God and live victoriously over sin and have an impact for His name in the lives of others, we must deliberately pursue time with God in His Word and in prayer. We must also make it our weekly routine to assemble with God's people for instruction and for community and for worship and for whatever else it is that we need. Money, food, clothing, whatever. Otherwise, we will default to handling life by following our own thoughts and our own ways. Our own thoughts and ways that are nothing like His. And His ways are best. His ways are perfect. Reflecting upon and heeding Isaiah 55 will lead us to the flourishing life that God intends His children to have. So here's another note on godliness that I want us to consider. Although we've all heard the word, few of us can give a quick and easy definition for godliness. You ever thought about that? It's a simple word. It's one that if you were on your knee-jerk response, you would say, yeah, I know what godliness is. I know what that means. But then if you were challenged to really give a clear, precise, usable definition of the word, you might be like, no, it could mean a lot of things. We read little about it. Historically, the concept has been treated really rather lightly in Christian literature and in church. It's maybe touched on from time to time, but it's regarded rather lightly. And because of this, we might conclude that it's something we'll experience and understand as we move along in our Christian lives. Friends, let me tell you something about godliness, okay? No higher compliment can be paid to any Christian than to call him or her a godly person. Anybody know any godly people out here? I do. Think about what makes them godly in your mind and in your heart. You might be a conscientious parent. You might be a tireless, zealous church worker. You might be a dynamic spokesperson for Christ who's willing to give their testimony of the Lord Jesus at the drop of a hat. You might be a talented Christian leader of sorts. But none of these things matter if at the same time you're not a godly person, if you don't reflect godliness. See, there's a New Testament word for godliness. It's kind of a weird word, as most Greek words are. It's called ousebia. Ousebia, in its original meaning, conveys the idea of godliness. And it says that it's a personal attitude towards God that results in actions that are pleasing to Him. This personal attitude toward God is what's oftentimes referred to as devotion to God, or our devotion to God. But we have to keep in mind that devotion to God, you know, the type of devotion that defines godliness of character, is devotion in action. Amen? Devotion in action. Faith along with works. It's not just a warm emotional feeling about God. You know, that kind of feeling we may get when you're singing some old hymn that you love, maybe that you grew up with, or conversely, if you're singing a modern day chorus or worship song, praise and worship song, it's not that. Neither, tell you what else it's not. It's not devotion of God, or devotion to God is not spending a bunch of time reading your Bible and prayer. Or having devotions. You know, I grew up in my family. We were all about, you know, a big part of every day is, you know, you need to commit time every day to having a devotion or doing a devotional. And that is important, that we've already talked about that tonight. But doing devotions or having certain length of time of your devotions is not exactly what we're talking about. See, devotion is not an activity. It's not a defined activity. It is an attitude toward God. This attitude is really comprised of three elements, and I want you to hear these, and then we'll conclude for tonight. The three attributes that define devotion to God, and therefore define godliness according to the Greek word ousebia, would be the fear of God, the love of God, and the desire for God, the thirst and the hunger for righteousness. See, devotion signifies a life given or devoted to God. A godly man or a godly woman is someone who no longer lives according to their own will and their own ways, or the way and the spirit of the world, but to the sole will of God. And I think that's what Isaiah 55 is telling us. We have to get to that place. It's not easy. It's not easy. We're human beings, and we live in a world where the prince of the power of the air controls the narrative, right? But we have to seek out God's ways and His thoughts and His teaching and His truth. We have to seek it out, and we have to make that all that we care about. The other narratives don't matter to the believer. They have nothing to do with us, right? It's about not being conformed to one, but being transformed from it by the renewing of our minds, Romans 12:2. See, the godly man or woman considers God in everything. Nothing else matters if it doesn't have God in it. We serve God in everything. Nothing matters. Nothing's worthwhile if it doesn't have God in it, or you can't put God in it. We have to be willing to make all things common, all things godly, by doing everything in the name of God and everything according to His glory. I hope these words have been an encouragement to you as they have for me. I love reading Isaiah 55. It gives me great comfort and encouragement. I'm going to ask the band to go ahead and come on up, and then I'm going to pray for us. Father, thank You so much for being here with us tonight. Thank You for blessing us. Thank You for encouraging us, Lord. Just show us how to love You well and to love Your people well. Lord, show us how to be godly. Lord, help us with our unbelief. Help us with our desire to be godly. Lord, we love You, and we thank You for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.